Hello and welcome back to my podcast, Tits, Tums and All Things Mum. I am your host Lottie and I am here to normalise normal parenthood and to show everyone that really we're all just winging it. Join me and my amazing guests to make sense of the chaos and work through motherhood together. Welcome back to Tits, Tums and All Things Mum. I have got a returning guest today, the lovely Melissa Suffield. Hello, how are you?
Hi. Yeah, not bad, just sweating my ass off, but otherwise I'm all good.
I record video now for these and I was just like dabbing my sweat away, ready for the video. I was like, this is so disgusting.
It needs doing. That's why I've not turned any lights on in here. I don't need anything to help show off what could pass maybe as a glow in this dull light. If you were to shine a light on it, though, you'd see it's all sweat.
Oh, yeah, there's just sweat everywhere. It is gross. Mm. But anyway, could you start by telling us a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, sure. So my name's Melissa. I'm 30, flirty and thriving.
Love that.
I have one son. His name is River and he is coming up for 3.5. I'm also a part-time solo parent. So my partner works at sea. He's currently home for like 3 months and then he goes again for 4 months and he's just been gone for 4 months. So that's kind of our life, really. It's kind of topsy-turvy, one of these kind of, you know, families doing it their own way vibes, if you like. And then my content is all based around confidence and body confidence and owning the body that your child gave you or did you dirty with, however you want to think about it, and just kind of reclaiming a bit of that for yourself.
Yeah, it's no longer the body that your mama gave you, is it?
No, it's absolutely the other way around. It's the body that mamahood gave you.
Exactly. So you were just touching on there that you are a solo parent some of the time. How is that? Because I don't know how you bloody do it, mate. I don't know how you do it.
It's bonkers. I think sometimes people say, like, how do you do it? And I'm like, I don't have a choice.
Yeah.
Like, I don't have a choice. I have to do it. So if I'm ill, I have to do it. If I can't be bothered, I have to still do it. Like, I can't just let the washing up sit there in the hope that, like, when he's home, I'll let it sit as long as I can and be like, maybe someone else will do it. Maybe not. Maybe this time. You know, but when it's just you on your own, if it doesn't get done, the only real person losing out is yourself. Yeah. So you kind of learn how to just get shit done. And it can become quite overwhelming. And especially if I've got a lot that I need to achieve. If I'm trying to get work done, he's not at nursery for whatever reason. Like, it's just, then the chaos happens. And I find it difficult. The older he gets, I find it more difficult to not snap at him.
Yeah.
But I think, do you know what? I'm gentle with him, but I'm not going to stress myself out about snapping and shouting because actually sometimes I think we actually both need that. He needs to be snapped into a situation and I need to snap out of it. And actually it's like a bit of a reset for us. And I find it quite helpful for the pair of us because, like I say, he's not frightened of me. Do you know what I mean? Like, he knows it comes from a place of I've overstepped.
Yeah.
Because he is chronic for that, bless him. He's a really cheeky boy. Like, he's a really cheeky little pest with boundless energy and an absolute obsession with pushing limits. So it gets to that point, but like, I think having grace with ourselves, like, there are certain situations where I'm picking my battles as well. Like, he could do something and I could be like, nope, I'm sticking to my guns on this one. But actually it's so much easier to just let that go and save the battle for something that really matters. Yeah. I keep seeing this term going around, scrunchy mum. I feel like I'm falling into that category quite nicely. Yeah. And I know it's maybe more about I'm an eco-friendly mum and a plastics mum. And I'm kind of looking at it from a more emotional point of view. We do a lot of big chat about feelings and a lot of, you know, getting him to communicate how he's feeling and working through tantrums and rage really nicely and calmly. And I definitely pride myself on handling public meltdowns really well. I think mainly because I don't actually give a shit what anyone else thinks of me. So I don't really care about the old biddy in the next aisle going,
Yeah.
Like, it really doesn't bother me. So that's something I'm great at. But then in the same breath, I'm totally allowing myself the grace to go, oh, for fuck's sake. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Because I think the second we start beating ourselves up for that is when we start really just overthinking the whole thing. And I think that really comes back to my point. Don't overthink it, just do it.
Yeah.
Like, you just got to get it done. I don't mind if some days are really shit because some days are really shit in life. And actually, that's a lesson to be taught as well. Not every day is a home run. Not every day is a 10 out of 10 fun, Bobby, fun day. Sometimes days are a bit crap and you just get to the end of them. And then other days are fantastic. And I think it's that being adaptable that I have to be, but it also teaches him how to be adaptable too.
Yeah, definitely.
Which is, I think, one of the most important things a human being can be. We have to be adaptable.
100%. I'm definitely a scrunchy mum too. I'm like a bit of this, but a bit of that. And like, I lost my shit today because I'm not well.
Yeah.
And my eldest loves to push buttons as well. And the two of them separately, they push buttons, but they're all right. When they're together, oh my fucking God, they fight like cat and dog. And I had a cup of tea and I was trying to call in sick. Like, I had to like submit a thing on an app because I was supposed to have a study day today, but I was like passing out. So I had to submit that. So I was trying to do that and hold my cup of tea in my hand, and they were fighting. And then the next minute they knocked the cup of tea out of my hand all over me. And I was like, ah! And then I just lost it. And then I was like, okay. And now I tell them why I lost it. So like, mummy's just trying to do this and you've been pushing all of mummy's buttons and mummy's not feeling well either. So can you just like give me a minute, and I'm sorry for shouting. And then it just kind of...
I think that's it. I think it's owning the situation. Yeah. Like, I never just shout and ditch, because that is an asshole move. Like, I would never do that to anyone, let alone a child. Yeah. But I do think, you know, like people always say, oh, it's really important for your child to be able to see you cry. Yeah. And like, you shouldn't hide that part of yourself. I'm also not going to hide the part of myself that gets stressed out and overwhelmed. I'm not going to hide any of that from him, because I actually think it's important to see every side of every person, really. Yeah. As long as it's safe and age appropriate, which it always is. You know what I mean? Yeah. So it's that thing of, I want him to understand that human beings are messy. Yeah. I don't want him to go into the world thinking that human beings are perfect, because he's going to be let down severely, basically by everyone he comes into contact with, because every human's quite crap, really. When you break it down, we're all very messy, very flawed people. Yeah. And I think it's important that children see that. So I love this whole thing of, I take a deep breath and then I approach the situation. It's like, cool. But everyone else in his life won't. Yeah. So he's going to have this really super unrealistic standard set by me, and it's not even honest to me either.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, and you've got to prepare them for them being able to regulate their emotions as well.
Because exactly. No good, if he can see that I can do it, fantastic.
It's no good sending them into this crazy world with like not equipped to be able to regulate their emotions, and just thinking
absolutely
at all times I should be like just nothing, just plain happy, not feeling any emotion.
That's exactly it. I don't really want him to be either side of that. I don't want him to think, well, other people internalize their rage, so I'll do that too. But also, when I get angry, it's a snap and then an immediate draw it back. I'm not then punching a pillow and throwing things around the room. I'm not being a toddler.
Yeah.
So he can now learn from someone else and go, it's okay to have the giant feeling. It's actually okay to react in quite a big way as well. But now that I've seen she can do it and bring it back, I can do it too. And actually, he is really good at bringing it back from a tantrum. Yeah. We have a lot of tools that we use in the house. But one is these little pegs with little emotional faces on them. And I'll go, do you want to tell me how you're feeling? And he'll literally go, I'm frustrated. Oh. And I'm like, I know, it's so cute and so silly. Yeah. He's just started doing this and like crossing his arms, but he can't obviously cross them because he's three, and it's so funny and so cute. But I'm like, I can't invalidate your feelings by laughing, which is absolutely what I want to do in that moment. So I'm like, Are you feeling a bit cross? Yes, I am cross. I'm like, oh my God, you're like a cartoon.
Yeah.
It's so funny watching them.
Yeah, oh my God.
I'm absolutely obsessed with this age, like this kind of 3.5, because I really missed the terrible twos. It really didn't get us at all. And I was like, have I just got like the best child? And then he turned 3 and I was like, no, I really didn't. He also is an asshole like all of the others when he wants to be. And it was like, we skipped terrible two and we hit 3 nature really hard. Instead,
the asshole stage at their own pace, don't they?
I get it when they get it. Yeah, absolutely. He's always been headstrong. He's always been a bit stubborn, but he was always a little monkey with it. Whereas now he's a real sassy monkey.
Yeah. Oh God. And then they get like, I love it though. 5, and my daughter. Oh my God. Last night when I was putting her to bed, she was being a right pickle and just wasn't going to sleep. I still like sit with her for her to go to sleep, and I was like, come on, just lay quietly. She was like, I'm not tired. I was like, okay, that's fine. You don't have to go to sleep. Just lay there and think about something nice. And then she wasn't going. She was being a pickle. I was like, okay, right. Well, mummy's going to go now. And she's like, yeah, you go then, mummy, because I don't love you anyway. And I was like, oh my God. I was like,
I'm kind of obsessed with when that starts to happen as well. I don't love you, I hate you,
and
I'm like,
my party.
There's a part of me that there's a part of me that's like, absolutely. I'd be like, well, if I'd be like, oh my God, do I not have to be there? Fucking great news.
Amazing.
I was really, really dreading that, to be honest.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. But yeah, I'm kind of obsessed with that age. I'm obsessed with all of the ages that I know are yet to come and all the funny things. But that is one thing where I'm like, going to really have to try and keep my cool and like really not just crack up, because it's just so funny.
Yeah. I just walked
these
out
like giant feelings about tiny things. But yeah, exactly. That's exactly it. And just being like, oh, that's so sweet. Bye.
Yeah, love you. But yeah, it's good fun, isn't it? And I've got a 2.5-year-old, and he's not there yet with like he has the tantrums and stuff, but obviously he doesn't understand the emotions. But he's just started copying the sass of his sister. So he'll stomp his foot and be like, no, that my car. And I'm like, where did you even get this stomping your foot from?
That's what River's doing. Yeah. He's crossing his arms and going, that not yours, that mine. Yeah. And I'm like, it's my phone. Yeah. It's very much my item, actually. It's really not a shared item. That not yours, that mine. I was like, wow, you're going to want to wind your neck in, kid. I really need this phone, actually. It's really our lifeline to the whole world.
Bailey did it at the park earlier, where he was about to get on the seesaw and a little girl came over, literally just to like say hi to him. And he stomped his foot at her and was like, no, that my seesaw. And I'm like, this is definitely not your seesaw, darling.
No.
And I'm pretty sure she wasn't trying to
steal it. It's yours right now, but it's,
Oh my God.
I love watching kids navigate those kinds of situations with each other. So entertaining. And just fascinating as well to watch them handle it without too much like intervention and guidance. I only really try and get involved. I mean, to be honest, it doesn't happen to us often because the local park is not great and we're normally the only people in it. But when it does happen, it is so funny watching it. And I try not to get involved unless it's, you know, like about to get like physical or there's a real temper tantrum. But otherwise, I just love to watch them interact. It's so funny just watching them navigate, kind of copying what they've seen adults do, I think.
Yeah.
I love it, I think it's so cool.
Like a little kid fell over at the park earlier and was crying, and Bailey ran up to her and was going, doctor, doctor, doctor. And then he put his hand on her back and went, not cry, not cry. And I was like, where have you learned all this from? It's so cute.
That's sweet. I like that. That's really sweet.
It's lovely. Such a like affectionate and caring little boy, and then he has these mega tantrums, and I'm like, how are you both of these things?
That's it, isn't it? I think River's the same. I think he hates not having everyone included. He really wants everyone to be in on his joke. He wants everyone to really be a part of the game, and he doesn't want to leave anyone out. But then also will just not want to have a single person involved. So it's like, no, everyone get out. If not all of you are involved, I don't just want some of you, get out. Like, it's so funny how he'll go from just being the most inclusive to the most exclusive person. But I'm like, oh wow, you really are too cool for the rest of us. Okay.
Oh, bless him. So back to your solo parenting, kind of what bit do you find the hardest out of it? Because I think when you go into motherhood, you don't really realise that simple things like leaving the house become such a task. So which bit do you kind of find the hardest about it?
So it's less of the planning and stuff. I kind of have down pat, and I have my little rhythms that keep us checked. So I'm always packing like buggies and bags and stuff the night before. I'm not doing that there and then. Or if I am, I'm starting a film on the TV, putting him in the buggy and then doing it round him so I know he's not going to try and get out the door or make a mess. So like those kinds of things now don't really stress me out. We're in a good rhythm. It's more the freedom. There's so many opportunities that I've had to turn down because I haven't had childcare that's been difficult. Whereas if he was at home all the time, it'd be like, well, it's my turn and you can have a turn in a week, but there is no turn taking when you're the only one. My family live back in London. I'm in Kent. And also, like, my parents are super young and still work full time. So they're of no use to me really either. They're both like in their late 40s. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? So it's like, they're not really a huge help to me. There's just been like really, really good opportunities that would have been really good for me work-wise and fun-wise as well. Like things I wanted to do that I haven't been able to do. Yeah. So that I find stressful. And then also when he is ill, that's a real struggle for me, just because I know that eventually either I'm going to catch it and then be the only person parenting while ill, which sucks such a bag of dicks. Like, it's unreal.
Yeah.
But it's more just like, he's going to be sleeping less. I'm going to be worrying more. I'm going to get less sleep. Even when he gets better, I'm still going to be running on empty, which makes me more snappy, less able to deal with the bullshit, less good at the planning side of things. Because I'm not a planner by nature. I'm an incredibly scatty, spontaneous person. But being a solo parent, I have to force myself to be a forward planner, a list maker, and someone who can't be spontaneous anymore. So it really, it takes away quite a few of the things that are actually who I am at my core and makes them now not possible. So that's why I have to kind of then try and find other ways in which I can continue to actually be the person I am and not the mother that I am, because it's really easy to get stuck in that frame of mind.
And do you find yourself just little getting things like resentful for that in any way? Because sometimes I used to suffer really badly from resentment for similar reasons.
It's not so much a resentment, but I do get a bit when my other half will call me up and tell me about his stressful day. And I'm like, bruv, come now. Yeah. you know, and it's that thing of, I won't ever understand what it's like to be away for 4 months. Yeah. And he won't ever understand what it's like to parent on his own for more than probably 24 hours. So he... although he did it this weekend for about 18 hours and he texted me about 2 hours in and went, I can't believe you did this all the time.
That's the thing.
And I was like, dude, I know.
I went on a hen deer.
I know, it's really wild.
Like, how do you do this all the time? I'm like, right, this thing that you're feeling now, bottle it and remember that when you come home from work. You're stressed.
I screenshotted the text and I'm going to put it in a frame.
Yeah, make sure it's
I'm just
going
to have it up all the time and just be like, there's that gratitude that I, or not even gratitude, but there's that, like, when you're away and you can't quite put yourself in my shoes and vice versa, there's what I'll come back to and just be like, that one time was difficult. Fantastic. But yeah, it's, I think we're living different lives a lot of the time. It helps because I visited him on the ship a few times before having River. So I know what his job like entails. And so when he tells me about his day, I can put myself in the shoes without obviously the stressful side of it. But I know so much about his job and the way it goes down, and I can physically put myself in the places that he's talking about, which I think really helps. And then he can kind of obviously do that back too. So, but there are certain times where he'll, on this last contract he was in, Australia, New Zealand, and then went round like Tahiti, Hawaii, and then ended up in Canada, right? So he was like other side of the world. We're talking like 12, 13 hour time differences. Yeah. So he would call when he woke up, and it would be just after I'd like put River to bed. I'd be like, "You're right, you're not really talking." And I was like, "Yeah, I got fuck all left in the tank, mate. I'm absolutely done in." Like, he goes, "But you've just had a whole day. You must have something to tell me." And I'm like, "Maybe. I'm not really sure. I don't really know who I am right now. I'm too fucked to deal with this." Like, just absolutely, like, spiritually, emotionally, mentally exhausted. Mm-hmm. But not physically exhausted, so I couldn't sleep it off. And you just kind of, you don't even really watch anything. You don't even really scroll on your phone. You just kind of sit and stare. Yeah. And you're like, an hour's passed. Should I eat? Should I do something? No, I'm just going to sit and stare some more. Because sometimes it will go, like, I'll have a whole day and the only conversation I've had was with an angry three-year-old. Like, and I'm like, oh, wow, okay, I really need to, like, actually make my brain do something important and, like, cool. Yeah. For want of a better word, I need to do something that wasn't arguing about the remote or something like that. I need to have, like, a conversation.
We get that as well. Like, my husband will complain about, like, a stressful day, but he fixes gym equipment for a job and has to drive quite far, like an hour between jobs. And I'm like, okay, so you've got to sit in the car for an hour with a coffee and a podcast or some music on. And that's stressful because there was traffic. I'm like, give me an hour in the car on my own any day.
That's traffic. The thing. He will often say to me, I'll be going like, oh my God, today was a nightmare. He goes, we can swap if you'd like. And I'm like, I don't think you understand that I actually think I would. Yes. But then I'm like, would I though? No, I don't think I could do 4 months apart. Mm. Like, and I'm like, okay, I'm going to try and put myself back in the shoes. But there are certain days where I'm like, drop me out, swap now please.
I'm the same. I've been off this week. I'm well from work, and I'm desperate to go to work. I need to go to work. I work in critical care as well, so like we've got like,
so it's not like a picnic.
We've got like a cardiac arrest here, you know, like something going on over there.
But it's just something I think, even though motherhood is stressful and like exhausting, it's not mentally exhausting. It's not challenging for me in a way that, like, my brain isn't challenged, really. Yeah. I'm not problem solving enough. Yeah. Or if I am, I'm doing it too well that I'm actually not making my brain work hard. And that's such a massive part of who I am. It's constantly puzzling and riddling and wanting to expand my knowledge. I've always been like that. And now I don't have really solid opportunities to do that, and it just, that's what makes you zombie by the end of the day. So it's important to me that I find those avenues where I can, and it's a lot easier to do when I have someone else at home,
definitely,
because I can just go, I'm just going to take a quick hour, and I don't have that opportunity unless he's asleep. Now I'm absolutely in a boat of just pure joy in that my 3.5-year-old still naps.
You're so lucky.
For like 2 to 2.5 hours in the middle of the day. I'm like, I know. And still goes to bed. He does a 12-hour. He's just got, when I tell people he's the most energetic child of all time, I don't think they like actually believe me. And then when I'm like, he sleeps like 14 hours in a 24-hour period. What do you think he's doing for those 10 awake hours, God, if not bouncing around? He's like, if you fired a gun into a metal room, it would just ping for like hours and hours and hours and never stop. That is River in a nutshell.
Oh, God.
So he has to sleep it off because he burns it all off. But I'm like, you know what? That time when he's asleep is when I get any and all work done. So the longer he could stay a daytime napper, the better, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah. That's when I work.
He doesn't
nap
when he's at nursery. Oh, really? So then when he isn't at nursery, which is like 4 days on the trot, he naps every day. Nice. And I was like, should I be trying to wean him off this nap? But on the days when he doesn't have it, Jesus Christ, he's such an asshole. Like, he really, really needs that sleep. And even today, he slept for like an hour after he got home from nursery and still went to bed really happily at like 7:30.
Oh, no.
I was like, this is phenomenal, and I don't ever want that to end. Like, important to me that maintains.
Yeah, my nearly five-year-old, still naps at the weekend. And
fantastic.
But she's an early riser. She does get up at like 5:30, 6 o'clock. But, oh, really? And like on school days, she obviously can't nap, so she gets home and she's absolutely miserable.
She's exhausted.
And she's
asleep
by half
six. Some kids just have higher
six.
Sleep needs, don't they? Like, they just need to be asleep. Yeah. Whereas this yesterday morning, I was the first one to wake up at 8:15. I was oh my God, that's phenomenal. Yeah. But then this morning I had to get up at 7 for physio. So I was awake pretty much every hour on the hour in the night because I knew that I had to get up. And I was like, shit, we fucked that yesterday.
Yeah.
I have to make sure we're up.
Yeah.
So it's a double-edged sword. But no, I'm not in any hurry to destroy that sleep pattern.
No, I'd be
It's really
same.
Crucial. I think I will be a worse solo parent without that time in the middle of the day. So we'll speak again in about a year and see how I'm handling it then.
Well, you never know. He might be like my Bella and keep his naps till he's like 5.
That's the dream. As soon as he stops napping in the day, that's when I'll send him 5 days a week to nursery. Put it that way. Because I still need to get work done.
Yeah.
So that's when I'll up the days, basically. Yeah.
Bella's at primary school. So she's at school Monday to Friday and then still naps at weekends. And you best believe over the summer holiday, she's napping every day.
Oh, she's going to have a wonderful time. She's going to absolutely love it. That's what you've got to think. So doing this for her is just a nice byproduct that it happens for me. Yeah,
it's definitely absolutely. Not for my sanity. It's for you, Bella.
No, that's just a fun byproduct.
Yeah, definitely.
That's all it is.
That's what we're going to go with anyway.
I think so. I think that's wise.
Yeah. So talk to us about your whole body confidence on your platform, because I bloody love it. And I know you've got a big community of followers who just adore the content that you post and just feel so much better because of the content that you post. So what kind of started you posting stuff like that?
So after I gave birth, we went straight into lockdown and it was like literally bang on. So you remember that really scary bit of COVID where it was like,
March.
If you go outside, you will die.
Yeah.
Like you'll die. If you leave your house and God forbid you see someone on the other side of the street, but like you'll catch COVID and you'll die.
Yeah.
So I was like, right, well, I won't leave the house and I certainly won't take my child out. So I didn't really move.
Yeah.
At all. And I coupled that with my labor was 3 days long. He was back to back and there was 2 hours of pushing, right? So it was like, I don't see it as like a horrible experience at all. It certainly wasn't traumatic. I like still really pretty positive birth. He was fine. I was fine, really. But it's left me with a lot of mobility issues, right? Which I think is coupled with the fact that I've basically sat on my ass now for 3 years. But it's a difference because I started off sitting on my ass because I had a baby and I was pumping. And now I'm sat on my ass because I can't really walk.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like a double-edged sword. But as a result, I've basically put on loads of weight. So I went from being a size 10 pre-pregnancy to like a size 12 during and post-pregnancy and then shot up, but like shot up in the way that it's more that like I've really gained weight. Like you can see it. It's not just a clothes size increase. You can see it all over, right? So I was struggling with that because I was like, what the fuck? I can't do anything about this either because I'm just in so much pain.
Yeah.
There's so much going on that I can't push myself hard enough to lose that weight. Like, and it got to the 9 months and I'd been kind to myself. I was like, oh, they say 9 months to grow a baby, 9 months to feel better. And I was like, I feel
That's
like
a load
crap.
Of bullshit.
I was like, I feel like absolute shit still. And,
yeah.
And now he's coming up 3.5 and I still feel like shit. So it's not, it wasn't an easy fix. And I think in my brain as well, cause before I had him, I was a dance teacher, right? Super active. Legs behind the head, splits, whatever, like so bendy, so fit and, you know, healthy and energetic, right? So, excuse me. I think there was part of me as well that was always like, well, if you want to lose the weight, like you can do it. It's difficult, but you can do it. You can always put less food on the plate. You can always walk an extra few steps. And while those things are both true, I think what I hadn't done was allow for the many, many instances where it isn't quite as simple as that. So yes, I could put less food on my plate and I could take more steps and I would lose some weight. But if I take more steps, I might not be able to walk properly the next day and lift my child down the stairs. And I'm the only parent in this house some of the time. So I can't really push myself to that limit where it actually affects my mobility, right? So tying all those things together, I was like, I just don't feel great about this. And it feels very out of my control in this moment. It doesn't feel like I've got myself into a situation and only me can get me out. I was like, I literally can't get myself out of this situation because trying to get NHS physio help at this time, we were in kind of lockdown two. Mm. We still had another one to go. Like, it was just not happening. So I just kind of thought, do you know what? If I'm only happy with one version of myself, I'm going to spend a lot of time miserable. Mm. So then I started doing the work to basically unpick that. And I was like, I have to find a way of being okay with this version of me. And so I did. And I was like, fantastic, this version of me has tits. The last one didn't. I was like, I'll focus on that. I'll focus on the boobs that I've always wanted and now I have them. So it was just kind of, it was spinning it round and trying to find pockets of gratitude in what was otherwise quite a crappy situation to have found myself in. Not crappy because I'd gained weight, but crappy because it was painful. Mm. I was in pain and I couldn't fix it. And you know, I pride myself, or have always prided myself, on being in touch with my body. And really, like, if I had an ache and pain, like, my training allowed me to basically sort myself out with that. Mm. And I'm hypermobile as well, which has obviously made all of this a lot worse, because a physio would see me and go, but you're fine? And I'm like, no, I'm fine by maybe someone else's standards, but by my standards, this is poor. But no one really understood that. And actually, I've now just found someone who understands that. And I'm actually getting work that is actually fixing it. But she'll put her hands on me and go, I found another problem. Oh. I found another problem. Mm-hmm. Like, and it's just so validating to hear that. And it's because she works mainly with mums. Mm. I was like, there we go. It's a lady who works with ladies.
Yeah.
And it's so validating to have that. And knowing how important being heard and feeling seen is to someone who's in a body that is not quite working out for them in that moment, it's so important to me that I can do that for other people.
Yeah.
So that's what continues to drive me. Like, I don't care about anyone who's going, you just want to get your tits out, or oh, you just want the attention, or whatever it may be. I couldn't give a fuck. Like, I mean that from the bottom of my heart. I don't care about those opinions. If I'm helping even one person feel better about themselves, then I'm simply not going to stop doing that.
Yeah.
Because why would I? So the fact that I can help more than just one person is fantastic. And so I'll basically just keep doing it as long as I can, as long as people are listening. And as soon as the last person checks out, I'll check out too. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's very much driven by not wanting other people to feel lonely in their bodies.
Yeah.
Because I know how that feels, and it can feel crappy.
Definitely. And I need your physio's contact details. I feel like motherhood is broken. Great. Honestly.
Yeah. I mean, I can't, so for me,
my hips are all broken as well. And I'm like, I'm 30. I am not 60. Why do my hips ache? Yeah. Why?
That's literally it. So where I'm hypermobile and all that relaxing that goes through your body while you're pregnant to allow you to give birth. And as long as you're breastfeeding, it's still going around. Right. So all your kind of ligaments and muscles get a bit wavy, a bit loose.
Mm.
If you're hypermobile, they're really fucking loose, right? So when they then go back together, they can get so stiff. And mine are basically so inflamed.
Mm.
So like, I go to an NHS physio and they would say, well, this is the stretch you need to do to help ease that muscle. But I couldn't do the stretch because it was so inflamed. It was like being stabbed with like a hot spike trying to do any of those things. I was like, I don't think you understand. Like, I know the difference between what is a painful stretch, like a good stretch where you go, oh, that's a bit of an ache. Yeah. And this is different.
Yeah.
This is not okay pain. So now I had a mummy MOT, which was kind of the first thing that I'd had that kind of unhooked a lot of those issues. And they were like, okay, it's this. Mm. And then, so I went to HQ and they referred me to someone a bit more local to me. And she specializes in something called visceral therapy, which is like hands-on, and it's fucking aggressive, right? So like kneading and really like pressure points and really attacking it. But it's incredible what she's been able to go, you're out of sync here, your alignment is fucked, like you're so inflamed here, to the point where there's a couple of videos on my Instagram where she'll just literally start touching me and the area comes up bright red. And that's how, and you can see then that is an inflamed area. And because if you do it on somewhere else, it doesn't happen. I was like, that's the validation that I've been needing, because it was getting to a point where I was like, is this in my head? Like, am I even in pain? Do I even know what pain is? Would everyone else be handling this fine? Because I just wasn't getting any answers out of anyone. And I was given all these stretches and it wasn't helping. I was like, is this in my fucking head? Like, am I not in pain at all? Am I just being lazy? But to be able to see those very visible things and have her describe to me, like when she puts a like acupuncture needle that's like maybe 8 inches long and she can put the whole thing in my body, and she says it should be like putting it into a stick of soft butter. And she was like, yours is more like putting it into a block of butter that's been in the freezer. Like, I can get it in, but it's difficult. And I was like, hearing that was fantastic. Today's session, she actually did internal visceral work, right? So she went in, as you do, and basically checked out the pelvic floor. She was like, I have a sneaking suspicion that your pelvic floor is going to be like tight on one side. And she was bang on the money. And it, she was like, it should feel like if someone was squishing into like soft, like candy floss kind of, you know, like a really soft texture, like putty. She was like, yours is like strings almost, and each of those strings is like tense. And she was like, and that would just be from the trauma of birth. And she was like, but now I'll loosen this and you watch, outside your leg will loosen. And I swear to God, I was like, that's that shit. That's mad, because I've never had any issues with my pelvic floor ever. Never been any like leakage, don't have to worry when I cough or jump, nothing like that. So it would never have been something that I would have gone to get checked out. And yet it needed so much hands-on work. And it's just the way the body communicates with itself is, has always been truly fascinating to me, but nothing has fascinated me like this experience of being in so much pain all over my bloody body and having all those areas talk to each other and actually feeling better and being like, shit, I can potentially move my body again in like the not too distant future. And that's been very validating, and it's really given me like a boost and a real lift to my system, which and I thought originally, I was like, well, because I can exercise again, I can shift some of this weight around my tummy and I can feel a little less heavy, you know, and I can maybe be less bloated. But actually, it's not about that at all. I'm actually not bothered about losing weight at all. I just want to be able to chase my child. Because he's fucking fast. Someone's got to chase him. And it, you know, it's going to have to be me. And it was just, it's those things of, I haven't been able to do so many things that I should have. And it's nice to know that someone is helping me finally.
Isn't it crazy how little help women get after giving birth? Like, you've literally like been hit by a bus and then you're just expected to just crack on as normal. And I literally,
I think it goes
like
back to what we were saying about solo parenthood, though. You have no choice. You have
you
to
have
do
to
it.
Just crack on.
Like,
yeah.
You have to do it. You, whether you, you know, if you break your leg, even as a mother, you still have to mother. Like, do you know what I mean? Whatever happens to you, you still have to do the job. It's not a job where you can take time off.
Sick leave.
You don't get annual leave from
I'm putting
mother
a request in with my boss right now for some sick leave.
Absolutely. Who's the boss? Is it you? Is it the child?
No,
who's
it's the boss? Definitely the there kids. Is... It's the kids.
Yeah, this that's the thing. This this business is fucked.
It's not good. But yeah, like literally I maybe like a month ago, I was like, I'm fucking falling apart. I need to sort this shit out. I need to like start doing some exercise. I need to start eating healthier. But the minute that I started to do exercise, I felt broken. I was like, oh my God, I can't move. I'm literally, I can't do this. And then like eating healthily and stuff, it's all well and good, but having to like prep that in advance and think about what you're eating and all of those things. And I was like, this is tough, man. No wonder, like, I'm falling apart.
Yeah. See, that's one of the things. That's one of the things that comes into the planning. I'm so much worse at living when he's home. Because I let half of it kind of go to the wayside. When he's not here, I'm pretty structured. I like, I want to do things as cheap and easy as possible, right? So I'll buy loads of mints, cook it up and make literally, we're talking like 12 portions of chili, 12 portions of bolognese, a load of bits of bolognese for the kid, like whatever it may be, freeze them off in exactly the right individual portion. I have a second freezer literally just for this because it was so important to me. It just like lives in my garden outside. I can't actually believe it functions, but it does. And then I'll just defrost one of them for in like 10 minutes. And that has been like a lifesaver, because I really, as much as I absolutely love like a good McDonald's and all of this, and honestly I would love to say that I would eat them all the time if I could, but it's actually not true. I love fresh food, and I love fresh veg, and I love fresh food, fresh fruit, and all, and I just enjoy cooking as well. That's a real time when I get to kind of flex a creative muscle and try a bit of this and throw in a bit of this. And it's so important to me that I have those creative outlets, because it is so who I am as a person. Yeah. And it's just now that I'm finding it doesn't have to be I sit down and write a song. I haven't got anything to fucking write a song about now.
Yeah.
I did before I had a kid, but I don't have that now. So I'd be wasting my time.
Please write a song about motherhood and like...
I know, right? Wouldn't it? That'd be a trip. It would just basically be me screaming, fuck, for like 3 minutes. It'd be very, very like, post... Yeah, it'd be very punk.
Emo screamer song.
Yeah. Like, It wouldn't be the little ditties I used to write, put it that way. But no, I have to get creative in different ways now. I get creative in the way that I work, and in the way that I cook, and in the way that I do things. So it's that adaptability again. It's just really important to me to try and be adaptable, because that is kind of the next step on from the spontaneous person that I used to be. Before, I would just change my mind and do it. Now I don't really have the freedom to do that. So it's looking at a situation going, how can I change my mind? How can I do this a bit differently than I did it the last time? And being adaptable and not being set in my ways, and also making sure that my kid's not set in his ways, because we have a routine, but I have purposely left it pretty unstructured. I don't wake him up at the same time every day. He doesn't really wake up at the same time every day either. Bedtime's the same time, because by that point I've had enough. But dinner is not like, we eat it at 5. He can have dinner anywhere between 4:45 and 4:45. And lunch can be before he has his sleep, or it can be after at 2:30. Like, it's always been really important to me to leave it comfortable and fluid, so that if we have a day when we're out and about, he's not going, but it's lunchtime, or but I need to do this. And like, I try and use the outside potty sometimes at home. I just don't want him to get stuck in his ways, because I've never been stuck in my ways, and I know that when I am, I don't like it. So I'm trying to give him that option that I think kids don't get a lot of the time. Yeah. I'm actually making 95% of the choices about what we do and where we go, but there's the illusion of choice, because it's just a little bit different than it was the day before. And that's really helped kind of keep him on track. Like, I'm also, if he wants to have an ice cream before dinner, he can totally have one. He just won't be having one after. Like, I don't care. Like, that doesn't bother me. I know he's going to eat the dinner. And if he doesn't, I just won't do that the next day. And I'll just say, well, this time we're going to have it after, because you didn't have your dinner yesterday. Like, and those kinds of, I think because I've always done that, he doesn't really fight me on that. He doesn't go, but I want it now. He knows, like, he'll get it. If he keeps up with what he needs to do. Like, if he eats his dinner, he'll probably get that ice cream. If he doesn't eat it, probably won't get it the next day. So there's a good amount of control, but actually I am in charge. He just doesn't quite know it. And it's just that keeping it fluid, keeping it adaptable. That's kind of my number one tip for anyone who's becoming a parent. It's like, routine in the early days was so important to me. I used to track every motherfucker, and like, if anything was off by 20 minutes, I'd be like, well, that's it. The day is absolutely ruined. What are we going to do? He would never sleep again. And everything was fine. And I think if I had another, I tracked everything in the first place, not so I could stick to something, but it was so that I could recognize patterns early. I'd be like, oh, okay, we've actually done 3 days, we slept at this time, so maybe that's the time we nap now. It was kind of reverse engineering tracking. it wasn't so I could track it for someone else, it's so that I could spot a pattern and stick to that. But as a toddler, it just had to go out the window. Like, trying to live a structured life with that whirlwind of a child, it's just like, not possible. Sometimes he is just, we just need to go somewhere and do something. And yeah. I haven't planned for it. And we're just about to get off the sofa and go. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's just important to me that we live in that manner, especially when it's just the two of us, because it can be so easy to get in a rut of just sitting on your ass, watching him play, put the TV on for a bit, doing that. And it, that monotony is what kills me.
Yeah, I can't deal with monotony either. It drives me insane.
I have to avoid that as much as I can.
Yeah.
And that is kind of the saving grace of all motherhood for me.
Yeah.
Keeping it adaptable, trying to get out of the monotonous patterns.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. My best friend just had a baby not so long ago. I think she's like 2 weeks old now, and she's already fed up with the monotony because she couldn't get out of the house today because the baby wanted feeding loads. And she's like, yeah. I just need to get out of this house. And I'm like, oh God, I remember it so well. It's so hard to get out of the house
so
in
difficult.
Early days. Yeah.
See, I didn't really have that issue because obviously I wasn't allowed to really
lockdown.
To leave the house because of COVID.
Anyway.
But even better was that no one was allowed to come near me.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I was so concerned in pregnancy that I was going to have all these unwanted visitors and bringing me presents I hadn't wanted or asked for and was never going to dress the child in. And it just didn't happen because it was fucking illegal. I have never wanted to kiss a Tory more in my life. I was like, fantastic move. You've actually done something that benefited me for the first time in your life.
Yeah.
Well done, Tory party, for making it illegal for anyone to see me.
Yeah.
It felt very much like I had been personally thanked. Do you know what I mean? I was like, this has been wonderful. Thank you. Whereas that's the thing, if I ever have another kid, I'm like, kind of need some kind of lockdown situation to kick
just
off
create,
so I can
just create your own lockdown. Just be like, nope, I'm on lockdown.
I might just get a hazmat suit on, do the door up and be like, there's just a very localized pandemic going on inside the house, so I wouldn't want you to catch it. You stay on that side of the glass, we'll stay indoors.
Yeah, sounds good. Yeah, I love that. I love my little one was in lockdown as well, and it was so nice just to be in that bubble and not feel obliged to go anywhere or see anyone or
perfect.
Tidy the house at all. Just live.
That's that thing
bubble.
As well, the obligation.
Yeah.
And I think that's the obligation also kind of works against being adaptable, because when you feel obligated to do something, there is no space to be adaptable. So you feel obligated to go and see this friend or go to this group or whatever, and then your child starts acting like a dickhead and you can't go anyway, but now you feel guilty about the fact that you've not made it and you feel like you've failed. And it's like, nope, the adaptability meter can come right back in there as well and just go, we've just changed our minds. We haven't fucked that up. We haven't failed at getting out of the house today. We've just decided we're not going to.
Yeah, exactly.
That's kind of, it's a reframing. Everything's a reframing in this life for me.
And we've ended with some like great top tips for motherhood there.
They should, I know, who knew?
They should be like an advert for early motherhood, like all of these
absolutely
things. Like, love it.
Basically, just like, don't worry about it, just do whatever the fuck you like.
Just you,
like,
do you, babe.
That's kind
you
of
you.
Just yeah, absolutely. Keep an eye on the milestones, but don't be too rigid with them.
Yeah,
and as long as you're following safety advice, you're gonna be fine.
Yeah, sounds good.
Safe sleep, safe weaning,
easy
safe car travel
done.
That's literally
my
it. That's literally it. Yeah, absolutely. Just follow the safety advice and you'll be golden.
Yeah.
The rest of it really is completely up to you.
Yeah. Amazing. Love
and,
it.
And let's be real, it's actually up to your child.
Yeah.
Yeah. None of it's up to you. It's
up to
all
you
up to the
all.
Baby. Yeah.
On that
absolutely.
Note, could you tell us all where we can find you on socials?
Yes, absolutely. I'm at The Confident Mama, but we've got a cheeky dot in there. So it's The Dot Confident Mama.
Amazing. Well, thank you so much for coming back on again. And once
thanks
again, much
me.
Like last time, we haven't reached all of the topics that we wanted
oh, of
to
course.
Talk about. So you're going to have to come
you know
back
why?
To the third time.
It's because I never shut my mouth ever. I don't ever stop talking and I go on such a tangent and I don't even really remember what the question was, so
it's
you
fine
know.
It just means you have to come back again.
I'll have to come back again, absolutely.
Lovely speaking to you.
Yeah, you too.
Thank you so much for listening. As always, could you please subscribe, download and leave a review, and I would absolutely love it if you could share my podcast with your friends. I'll see you for the next episode.